Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our special Five Towns for Rockaway virtual base measure Sunday morning shir. Shavuot Tov. I hope everybody had a meaningful and uplifting Yom Tov. My shir today is Minyani Diyoma. We are going to begin in Pirkei Avos. The Perek tells us, the Mishnah tells us, actually, in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis, okay? Chapter 3 of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah 2. The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim Omer. Rabbi Chanina, the deputy to the Kohanim, used to say. So I think that this Mishnah is perhaps not one of the more focused on Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos, especially by us lay people. It's not the one that says, smile before everybody. It's not the one that says, greet everyone. It's not the one that says, don the kafzichus. It's not the one that tells you all three things the Torah, the world does stand. It's not necessarily such a feel-good Mishnah, and perhaps it doesn't get as much attention as the other Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos do. But Minyani Diyoma, this is, first of all, forget Minyani Diyoma, it's a very important Mishnah because it's called Torah Kula, and Tarbasha Baal Peh, Bichtav, all Min HaShemayim. And what does Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim tell us? Hevei mitpalel b'shlomo shel Malchus. Hevei mitpalel b'shlomo shel Malchus. You should daven, you should pray for the peace, Shloma, the integrity, the wholeness, the completion of the government. Why? Shall imale mora'a ish esrei'ehu chayim bila'o. If not that one man would fear his friend, we would be swallowed up alive. Shall imale mora'a, if we do not have fear of the government, ish esrei'ehu chayim bila'o. One man would swallow up his friend alive. This is a very important Mishnah. All Mishnahs are very important from the Torah Sheba'al Peh. But considering Inyan Yidoyoma, I decided to formulate this shir based on current events. So the Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim, the deputy to the Kohanim, says, you should pray for the Shlomo Shel Malchus, because if you do not have fear of government, one man would swallow up his friend alive. So I'll begin in the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura is a very famous Mishnah commentator, 15th to 16th century Italian, mostly well-known. Known the Bar Tanura first commentary on the Mishnah. So the Bar Tanura says, "Bishlomo shel Malchus va'afilu shel umos ha'olam." We are even talking about the umos ha'olam. One second. People can't see me on their screen. The chat said you don't see me on your screen. My camera's open. You do. You're saying you do. Okay, let's go. Bishlomo shel Malchus. You should pray for the integrity and the peace of government. And Bar Tanura, Rav Avadi mi Bar Tanura says, afilu shel umos ha'olam. So we're not only talking about davening for the Jewish commonwealth, for the Jewish government. Afilu shel umos ha'olam. Even we're talking about davening for the integrity and the safety and the wholeness and the peace of the government of the umos ha'olam. Chayim bila'o. Because if not, life would be swallowed up alive. The Bar Tanura says here, madag in the ecosystem, you have a food chain. And the Bar Tanura tells you, so apparently in Italy in the 1400s to the beginning of the 1500s, they knew this. It's called survival of the fittest. Just like in the sea, the fish that is bigger swallows up the fish that is smaller. Af bnei adam. So too, amongst men, il male mora shel malchus, if there was not, I'm quoting directly from the Bar Tanura, the commentary on the Mishnah, if there was not fear of the government, of the ruling party, of kingship, kol hagadol mechavero bole eschavero, whoever is greater than his friend, whoever is stronger than his friend, whoever is fitter than his friend, whoever is more powerful, exercises more control, will swallow up his fellow. And the Bar Tanura here notes that it's quoting from Maseches Avodah Zarah. So you see this concept, that if man does not fear, does not have reverence for government, does not have a healthy sense of self-respect for the integrity of government, life would be swallowed up. I'm now going to quote from Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, former chief rabbi of the state of Israel, to his commentary to Pirkei Avos. I'm quoting from this beautiful sefer. If you don't have it, I do recommend it. Rav Lau from Pirkei Avos, Yachal Yisrael. First of all, who teaches us this? Who is Rabbi Chanina Segan HaKohanim? So the Rabbi Lau writes, Rabbi Chanina was a contemporary of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he served in the temple, which was destroyed in his lifetime. Most of his statements recorded in the Talmud refer to the temple services. Maharal points out Rabbi Chanina was Rabbi Chanina was a contemporary of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He served in the temple, which was destroyed in his lifetime. And most of his statements recorded in the Gemara refer to the temple services. Why does Rabbi Hanina teach us to daven for the peace, the welfare of the government? In Rabbi Hanina's times, this is just a little bit of Jewish history, the Jewish people were torn apart by dissension. So within, there was a lack of achdus. In addition to the long-standing tensions created by the groups such as the Sadducees and the Essenes, a number of groups such as idealistic zealots, gangs under leadership of brigands such as Rabbi Yochanan of Gush Chalav, they ignored the wishes of the sages and they openly rebelled against the Roman government. So he lived at the time of the Churban by Yesheni. And he saw that there was internal strife, internal dissent amongst the different groups in Knesset Israel. And furthermore, there were those who felt you should be subservient to the Roman government, and there were those who felt you should rebel against the Roman government. Rabbi Hanina therefore stated elsewhere, "Great is peace. Great is shalom, for it is equal to all of creation." The peace to which Rabbi Hanina referred is that of one's personal life, because our personal life's peace is supported, says Rabbi Lau, by the well-being of the commonwealth. Our personal peace, our individual life, family, economic peace depends on the well-being of the commonwealth. Therefore, Rabbi Hanina, interesting, explained, and this I was surprised when I was prepared, because this week is Parshas Naso, where we have the text of the Birkas Kohanim, the priestly blessings. The Birkas Kohanim ends with V'yasem V'chal Shalom. It's at the end of Perek Vav in Bamidbar, Parshas Naso. Hashem will bless you with peace. Rabbi Hanina said that peace refers to peace in your home. Tragically, Rabbi Hanina was killed by the Romans. Further siyata d'shmayim preparing this year, first of all, a reference to this coming week's parasha, b'yasem l'chal shalom, and furthermore, he was killed on the 25th of Sivan. So we are in the month of Sivan. Rabbi Hanina was killed by the Romans. His martyrdom occurred on the 25th of Sivan, the same day when Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel were killed. He was not considered one of the Asar Harugei Malchus, but he was righteous, he was a Torah Jew, he was a Sagan HaKohanim, and he was martyred and murdered by the Romans. He was the deputy who was the understudy to the Kohen Gadol. Okay? Rabbi Hanina was never advanced to the position of the Kohen Gadol himself. This was because he was pious and God-fearing. And at the end of Bayesheni, the Romans were appointing who they wanted as the Kohen Gadol. So the Kedusha, the integrity of the position of Kohen Gadol was lost because the corrupt Romans were appointing corrupt Kohanim Gadolim, Jews who had strayed, who would go in line with their platform. Rav Meir Shapiro of Lublin points out, one might have expected Rabbi Hanina to harbor resentment against the Roman government that had treated him so unfairly. Nevertheless, it is precisely he who urged people to pray for the welfare of the government. Even if the government is oppressive and violent, because in his time, the Roman government was oppressive and there was violence, nevertheless, it is preferable to anarchy. And you open up a news feed or a newsreel or a website, and we see images and reports of anarchy raging, Rahman al-Islam, across the country. It reminds us of the truism of the words of Chazal. If you do not pray for the peace of the government, one man to his brother will swallow each other up alive. Rabbi Hanina delivered his directive to pray for the well-being of the government during the days of the destruction of the temple. And this is very relevant, the expulsion of the Jews from the land of Israel. From that point on, we're talking about Bayesheni here, okay? Because he was under the Roman rule, the Romans destroyed Bayesheni. From that point in Jewish history on, the Jews would dwell under foreign rule in distant lands. Still today, we are feeling the aftershocks of Churban Bayesheni. Almost 2,000 years later, we too are living in distant lands under foreign rule. And Rabbi Hanina was telling Am Yisrael, as you're about to go into Galus Romi, which is the fourth and longest and harshest Galus, we must be loyal citizens because, quote, says Rabbi Lau, government is the sole guarantor of a well-regulated society. For the first time, what about during Bayis Rishon? Do we see this idea during Churban Bayis Rishon when the Jews were exiled to Babel under the Babylonian rule, under the Nebuchadnezzar? Yirmiyahu, says Rabbi Lau, sent a message to those Jews as well. And for the first time since we entered the land under Yehoshua, the Jews were now going into Galus. And Yirmiyahu, under terms of the Churban Bayis Rishon, he also sent the same message to the Jews. And the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Parak Chof Tes, Psukim Hei through Zion, chapter 29 of Yirmiyahu. I'm quoting from the Navi. And what does Yirmiyahu say? You're about to go into Galus. for the first time since we came to the land under Yehoshua. And Yirmiyahu says, Binu batim v'shevu. You should build houses and you should sit in them. V'nitu ganos v'ichlu es piryan. You should plant gardens. You should eat the fruit. Kichu nashim. Marry women. V'holidu banim uvanos. You should have children. V'kichu levnechem nashim. And take for your sons' wives. V'es binoseche pnu la'anashim. And you should marry off your daughters. So what should the Jew do in Gala? Should he throw up his hand? Should he say, my life is over? The Jew davens v'shalayim ircha barachim tashuv every single day. Three times a day. But nevertheless, Yirmiyahu says, if this is the Jewish condition, for the time being we are in Galus, you should plant gardens, you should eat the fruit, you should build houses, you should live in them, you should marry off your children. V'te'eladna banei muvanos, your children will have sons and daughters. U'rivu sham. V'altim atuk. Make sure you multiply, you become many there. Do not diminish yourselves, says Yirmiyahu. So this precedes Chanina Segan HaKohanim, because we're going back to the days before Chorban Bayis Rishon. I'm in Perek Chaf Tes of Yirmiyahu, Pasuk Zayin. V'dirshu es shalom ha'ir. You should seek out the peace of the city. Asher higlesi eshem shama, where I have exiled you to. V'hispalalu ba'ada al Hashem. Don't only daven to restore the Jewish Commonwealth. Do not only daven for the integrity and the sanctity of the Jewish government. But while you are in Babel, what is the word of God to the Jewish people through Yirmiyahu? You should build homes. You should dwell on them. You should plant gardens. You should eat the fruit. You should marry women and have children. You should marry off your children to others. And you should multiply. Do not diminish yourselves. V'dirshu es shalom ha'ir. Seek out the peace, the welfare, the wholeness of the city. Asher higlesi eschem shama, that I have exiled you there. V'hit palalu ba'ada el Hashem. And on behalf of that foreign government, you should pray to God. Ki bishloma yihya lachem shalom. I encourage you to look up these psukim. It's Yirmiyahu Perek Chaf Tes, psukim hey through Zayin. I am not a baki at all. Knach, unfortunately, but Rabbi Lau in his commentary refers us to these psukim, and he says that the directive to pray for the welfare of the government under which we live precedes Bayisheni and Chanina Segana Kohanim. It goes all the way back to the crime of Bayis Rishon under Yirmiyahu, because, says the pasuk, you should daven for the welfare of the government where you are, ki bishloma, Yihya lachem shalom. Because when that government has peace, you will have peace. Your peace is contingent upon the peace of the government and the place in which you live. Furthermore, Rabbi Lau points out, Havei mitpalel, going back to Pirkei Avos, b'shlomo shamachus, is expressed in an especially forceful idiom. We must be, Havei mitpalel indicates, we should be in a constant state of prayer. We must continuously seek the well-being of the government in the lands in which we live. And Rabbi Lau points out, why is this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos? Pirkei Avos is full of Hevi Mekabes Kol Adam Besimcha, Besever Panam Yafos, Hevi Danas Kol HaAdam Lekaf Zechus, all kinds of wonderful, feel-good midos that we should work on. What does this morally teach us, that this teaching is in Pirkei Avos, asks Rabbi Lau, and he answers, many of the early commentators teach that Mishnah informs us, without a healthy society, without a firm government, without organized communal structure, it is impossible to serve God properly. What does this have to do with me morally as a Jew? A lot. Besides for our integrity and our safety and our peace, like we saw in the Bar Tanura, when fish swallow each other up alive, without a healthy society, without a firm government, and without an organized communal structure, it is impossible to serve God properly. Rabbi Yonah Gerardoni adds, we have a moral obligation to pray for the well-being of the community as a whole. Furthermore, the Mishnah can be translated, going back to the Lashon of the Mishnah, Hevei mitpalal bishloma shel malchus. If you have to literally translate that, Hevei mitpalal bishloma shel malchus, how would you actually translate that? So it's translated as pray for the well-being of the government. But Rabbi Lau points out, bishloma shel malchus can also be translated as pray during the well-being of the government. Hevei mitpalal, you should pray. Rabbi Lau already said it teaches us constant state of prayer. Be shloma shel malchus during the well-being of the government. What does that mean? We are not to take God's goodness for granted, but we should constantly pray for it. Thus, even during a time of peace, we must pray for continued well-being. Let us not take the peaceful times for granted. Is it only during the frightening times, during the terrifying times, during the scary times, during the times of rioting and anarchy that we now pray for the peace of government? That's not what Rabbi Chanina says. Rabbi Chanina says at all times, like we saw in the Bar Tanura, afilo for the umos ha'olam. You should be davening, says Yirmiyah. By the time of Bayis Rishon, your integrity, your safety, your ability to marry off your sons and daughters, to build your houses, to plant your gardens, to reap the benefits, depends on the sanctity and the, not sanctity, the integrity and wholeness of the government under which you find yourselves. And therefore, says Rabbi Lau, pray in a time of peace for the continued well-being of the government. Generally speaking, says Rabbi Lau, and this is so true of human nature, people are aroused to pray in a time of trouble, when they're suffering, when their needs are unmet. Now we turn to the Ribono Shel Olam. Lahavdil of Alfei Hevdalos, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Lahavdil. So when a person finds himself in a foxhole, all of a sudden he remembers that there's a God. But during times of tranquility, people do not understand why an army, says Rabbi Lau, or policemen are necessary. They take peace for granted. And therefore the Mishnah says, pray Bishlomasha Malchus. In a time of Shalom of the Malchus, then you should pray for the continued peace. Hitpalel Bishlomasha Malchus can also be translated or explained as during a time of peace for the government, that is when you shall pray for the continued well-being of the government. From a different perspective, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kotsk, the great Kotzker, states that pray during the well-being of the government means we must pray that a government will not use its moments of tranquility to contemplate anti-Semitic initiatives. Hispalel bishloma shalmanchus. You shall pray for the continued well-being, for the continued safety, for the continued peace of the government, that they should not use the time of shalom, says the Kotzker, to contemplate anti-Semitic initiatives. One more paragraph from Rabbi Lau before we move on to the next source. Rabbi Yom Tov Ibn Asiveli, the Ritva. Rav Lau quotes the Ritva, and other commentators state Rabbi Hanina's injunction to pray for the well-being of the government refers to the kingdom of heaven. His Pala B'Shlom Shal Malchus, in a different approach, can also be seen as referring to praying for the Shalom of Malchus, the restoration of the unity of the name of God in the world. God's kingdom accompanies the Jews wherever they go. And we must pray on behalf of the Ribono Shel Olam, so to speak, to return us from exile and to return the Shechina, Kaviyachal, from exile as well. We know, Rashi tells us in Chumash, when the Jews are in exile, so Hashem is also in exile. So hitpalel b'shlomasha malchus, to bring us full circle. We said, the Bar Tanura says, afil for the umas ha'olam. Because if you do not pray, it'll be like one fish, the survival of the fittest, the ecosystem, the way Hashem created nature. That's what will happen to man. If there is not fear of government, she'il malei mora'ah, when the masses feel that they can take matters into their own hands, when the police are being dragged through the streets, we are not exonerating or condoning any sort of, God forbid, police brutality against innocent people. Chalil v'chas, rachman al-Atzlan. God forbid. Every human life is b'tzalem alokim asa asa adam. We are simply talking about anarchy that can afflict states, countries, governments. And the follow-up from that, Chazal say, can be devastating. Says the Bar Tanura, quoting Maseches Avodah Zarah, those are like the bigger fish swallowing the smaller fish. Like we saw in Rav Yisrael Meir, says so many meanings. Pray in a time of peace for continued well-being of government. Pray that the government will not use times of peace to come up with anti-Semitic directives. How did Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim know this? Because he lived at the time of Churban. And before Churban, there was so much anarchy and dissent amongst Jews themselves, which ultimately led to their destruction. And we were exiled to Rome. And we went back and we saw in Yirmiyahu, Manavi tells us in the time of Bayis Rishon already, when you're going to Babel, hundreds of years you were in Eretz Yisrael, but now you're going to Babel, you should pray for the peace of the government, because our well-being depends on their well-being. There was a masterful article this past Shabbos in Mishpacha magazine. I don't know if you saw it or you did not see it. If you don't get Mishpacha magazine and you want to see the whole article, you can email me. I will forward you the link. It's really unbelievable. By Rav Aaron Lopiansky. Rav Aaron Lopiansky is very well known. Rosh Hashiva, the Yeshiva of Greater Washington, a Mechaber, Magid Shir, one of our Rosh Yeshiva today, who has so much influence, and it's called Yearning for Mashiach. Sometimes yearning for Mashiach is not enough. Sometimes Mashiach is not the solution. I'm not going to go through the whole article, which was very kedai to read, but what is the purpose of Mashiach coming? Four goals that Mashiach will accomplish according to the Rambam. You know, people talk about Mashiach all the time. Mashiach this, Mashiach that. Do we know it's going to be in the time of Mashiach? We have no idea. What is the purpose of Mashiach? So Maimonides, the Rambam, at the end of his Yad Chazakah, defines clearly four goals that Mashiach will accomplish. Related to today's Shir, and again, the whole article is very worth reading, I'm going to quote the first accomplishment of Mashiach. Number one, Mashiach will restore our nationhood by reinstating a central authority. We are no longer, writes Rav Lobkiansky, not yet a nation in the full sense. A nation is an entity that has a framework by which it acts as a unit. Without Mashiach, we have no central head, no authority, no structure, no enforcement. We can have rousing speeches. We can have ringing kol kores. We can have an inspirational siyum hashas. We can have stern admonitions. But we do only what ultimately we wish to do. Even for the people who are sympathetic to the values expressed in those proclamations, there is very little specific follow-through. Yes, we have our Gedolei Torah, but even that is subjective, depending on who you speak to. For those who point to the Moetzes as leadership, I would ask, do you mean Agudas Moetzes, Degel's Moetzes, Peleg's Moetzes, or Shas's Moetzes Chachmei Torah? Is it the Crown Heights Beis Din? What about Satmar and the others who don't ascribe to any of the above? Is it centrist Orthodox? Is it modern Orthodox? And what about all the many Yidden who do not fit into any of those categories in our current state of exile? So many frustrating issues that require law and enforcement are in hopeless abandonment in our current state of exile without Mashiach, the central head, who will restore our nationhood under a central authority of Jewish government. Who is, right? You can have, he says, kol koris, that's wonderful. You can have siyum hashas, you can have speeches, you can have admonitions. But who is the leader? Is it Agudah? Is it Dagos Moetzes? Is it Peleg Moetzes? Is it Shas Moetzes? Is it Crown Heights? Is it Satmar? Is it Centrist Orthodox? Is it Modern Orthodox? What about the Jews who don't subscribe to any of those categories? In our current state, meaning in exile, so many frustrating issues that require Jewish law and enforcement are in hopeless abandonment. Without central government, we are sorely lacking. So many of our monetary disagreements are adjudicated in secular courts. I said that word wrong. Adjudicated. Settled in secular courts because we simply don't have the apparatus to effectively force these issues in Beis Din. And this applies to aguna issues and much more. Mashiach will be our king. He will have the central authority to restore our national apparatus. We will then be a nation in the full significance of the world, of the words. So while we daven for the well-being of the governments under which we live, we have to realize how important, how important that truly is, because one of the main things that Mashiach will do, according to the Rambam's Yad HaChazakah, and again, I encourage you to all read the article in its entirety. If you want the link, you can email me and I will send it to you. One of the central things that Mashiach will do will be to restore our national unity government in the truest sense of the word. We will have one central government. People will know what to do. There will not be any anarchy, not without and not, Rachmana Litzlan, within either. I want to end by quoting a very powerful piece from Rav Soloveitchik. In regard to the Korban Pesach, in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis of Shemos, there are many halachos regarding the Korban Pesach. It has to be eaten with matzah and marah. It has to be entirely roasted over fire. It can't be undercooked. It can't be boiled. You have to wear your shoes on your feet and different shear for a different time. We spoke about that in this forum, if anybody remembers. Shoes on your feet. It has to be with your staff in your hand and your loins girded and you eat it in haste and you have to join with your neighbor and you can't leave any over. There's all kinds of halachos regarding, the consumption of the Korban Pesach. One of those mitzvos is, and I'm in Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Shemos, Pasuk Chof Bet. Ulakachtam agudas ezov utavaltam badam. You shall take two bunches, a bunch of hyssop, and immerse it in the blood of the Karban Pesach, asher basaf, that's in the basin. Vihigatam el hamashkov ve'al shtei mezuzos. You should wipe the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts from the blood that is in the basin. This is Leil Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Atem, and as for you, Lo Teitzu Ish Mi Petach Beito Ad Boker. Lo Teitzu Ish Mi Pesach Beito Ad Boker. Nobody should leave their house till the morning. It's one of God's directives. You can't leave the house till the morning. Why not? Who cares if the Ribono Shel Olam, there's a divinely imposed curfew? The answer is yes. On the night of Korban Pesach, on the night of Leil Shemurim, on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right before that, you're not allowed to leave. Why can't I leave? Says Rav Soloveitchik, Lo teitzu ish mi pesach beso ad boker. On the night of freedom, the slaves performed tzimtzum, the movement of withdrawal, of recoil, of self-limitation, of contracting from themselves. Freedom does not rid a man of his morals. Freedom should not rid a man of his morals. On the contrary, freedom should add to man's morals. The transition from slavery to freedom is very critical. The masters who exploited, tortured, humiliated, beat their slaves, find themselves at the mercies of the slaves, for whom they showed no concern, for whom they displayed no human emotion. The natural reaction of the freed slave is to suddenly avenge himself on the tyrant who murdered his baby, who assaulted and disgraced his daughter, who beat him for any minor infraction because of a sadistic rule. Generally, the transition from slave to free man is a bloody, ruthless, and vengeful transition. Fear of slave upheaval haunted tyrants of antiquity. Fear of slave upheaval haunted tyrants of antiquity, as well as those of modern times. Rebellion meant total destruction. History records many bloody and ruthless insurrections of slaves against their masters. Ancient Rome experienced twice or thrice a grim confrontation with slaves, which had been set free. European history knows of the peasant rebellion in medieval Germany. We know of the bloody Cossack revolt, in which hundreds of thousands of Jews were murdered in the Ukraine. The stories about the cruelty of the rebels are blood-chilling. They were eager to settle a long account of cruelty. And while the cruelty is never justified, neither, says the Rav, is the rebellion, because that's not the Torah perspective. Horrific massacres were typical. The brutish drive for vengeance, for gratification of the satanic in man, was irresistible. Did anything of that kind happen on the night of the Exodus? 600,000 slaves were all of a sudden liberated. Paro came to Goshen and he pleaded with Moshe. The Egyptians were hysterical. Ke'ein bayis asher ein sham meis. There was no house that did not have the dead. The Jews were now the masters. The Egyptians, now the subordinates, the oppressors, the Mitzrim, were now at the mercy of their former slaves. Were Egyptian babies taken out of the embrace of their mother in retribution and thrown into the Nile River, as the babies of the slaves had been murdered? Did the Hebrew beat up his taskmaster, who days ago tortured him mercilessly? Did the liberated slaves set fire to the exclusive neighborhoods of their former overlords? I said the word wrong. Did the liberated slaves set fire to the exclusive neighborhoods of their former overlords? Did the teenagers at least smash the window panes of the offices where their taskmasters would assemble? Nothing of the sort. On the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, God came and he said to Am Yisrael, Ba'atem, al teitzu ish mi pesach beso ad boker. Don't leave your house. Not one person was hurt. Not one house was destroyed. The liberated slaves had the courage to defy the natural call of blood. So what did the Jews do on Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim? Instead of swarming the streets of Goshen, they were locked up in their houses. They ate the Korban Pesach. They recited the Hallel. We gave thanks to God for our freedom. It is unique in the history of revolutions. Mishnah tells us, Avichanina Sagan HaKohanim Omer, Hevei Mitpalo B'Shlomo Shamachus. You want to know how you will survive Galus? Says Yirmiyahu in the time of Bais Rishon, you will go there. You will plant houses, gardens and eat. You will build houses. You will marry. You will marry off your children and they will have children. But like Yirmiyahu says in the time of Bais Rishon and Rabbi Chanina Sekana Koin says at the time of Churban Bais Sheni, don't forget to daven for the integrity, the safety, the wholeness of the government under which you live, even says the Bartender, the Umas HaOlam. Because if you don't, Rachmana Litzlan, our sanctity, our integrity, our ability to worship God, says Rabbi Lal, is dependent on Shlomo Shamachos, Shal Ilmalei Mora'ah. When man loses fear of the ruling government party, Ish Asrayehu Chayim Bila'o. One man will consume his friend, just like, say Chazal, the bigger fish in the ocean swallows up the smaller fish. Says Rav Lopiansky, the purpose of Mashiach, according to the Rambam, as Yarech HaKazakah, is to unite us under a central ruling authority. But until that time, Atam al Teitzu Ish Mipesach Beso Ad Boker. We know our way. We sit around the table. We give thanks. We say hallo. We eat the Korban Pesach proverbially. And all the while we daven, B'shloma Shel Malchus. Thank you for joining. We should share Besuros Tovos, a week of Shalom and peace. V'yasem L'chal Shalom. Parashas Knesset is the final end. I thank you for learning with me, and I thank you for your time. Kol Tov, everybody.